LNE Volume 3, a video by the great Franklin Carbonati, spanning Rome, Milan, London, New York, Paris, Barcelona, Montreal, and Toronto, featuring Rebo, Volvo, Snens, MTNW, Anger, Talker, Xavier, BO South, Lure, Rehab, Time, Zonic, XSM, Kemto, Salon, TD, Emno, Fayer, Toser, Nove, Stays, Villo, OSF, Waste, Soul, Zano, Guko, and What. The full video is now available on our Patreon. Enjoy, peace, love, and respect. Caleb, how do you say your last name?
Giles.
Giles. I was saying Giles.
Everyone does. It's all right.
Yeah.
Yo, it's a pleasure to have you on, man. I can't wait to talk about you.
Thank you, brother.
Yeah. So how'd you get into making music, first of all?
Got into making music. Into making my own music, like, in middle school. I've been, like, playing music my whole life. You know, my father's a musician. He's a bass trombonist. And so he had all me, my sisters, like, in lessons when we were kids and all that. And so we were just, I was in, like, piano lessons, of course, like, violin lessons for a minute. Then I started taking the saxophone. Like, you know, I picked it up in, like, the fifth grade, was in my church band, was in my school jazz band and shit. Then come eighth grade, I started, like, you know, like, I was in, like, the school, like, writing club, like, creative writing club. And then I just kept writing poems, turned into raps, and then, you know, just morphed into me doing the rap shit. Like, come eighth, ninth grade, just took it more serious.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. When you started with the whole saxophone, piano, all that stuff, did you think that it would turn into what it's turned into?
I mean, nah. I mean, I was a kid, you know, so I was just like, oh, this is fun. I'm doing this, I'm having a good time. But it wasn't until I was in the creative writing club in school. It was like a poetry club. In the sixth grade, I was like super into poems and like writing poems a lot. And then come eighth grade, I was like, man, like I got really into Black Star by Mos Def. Mm-hmm. I was like, man, like I can do this shit. And I just started like writing verses and shit and just got hella into like rap. Just like Mos Def, my fucking, you know, Nas, you know, the usual suspects, mm-hmm. just hella into that shit and just got into it, man. Yeah.
So you started it. So you've been writing, you've been rapping and stuff like that since eighth grade?
Yeah.
Wow, that's crazy. So when I met you, you were already like years into it.
I was definitely in the practice, but you know, I had to refine my skills, you know.
Yeah. How do you think that like the time has progressed in terms of your style and what you try to give across with your music and the lyrics that you when you first approached it when you were younger, how has that approach changed from to now?
Yeah, when I was younger, it was a lot of just because I was also into like, you know, doom and like just more like eccentric, you know, acts. So I was really into like just like saying like random outlandish shit, just like for the shock value of it. You know, like I was into Eminem as well and shit. But I think as I've gotten older, I've realized the importance of like just saying what is true to you, of course, and just like keeping it 100, just keeping it honest. And that's the most important thing. Like I was like, you know, 14, like just saying random shit, you know, but now it's like, it's such a part of my life, like writing every day. Like I have no choice but to be honest with it. Like, and just keep it thorough.
Dude, seeing a 22-year-old like talking about what you talk about in your music, honestly, is like is like a breath of fresh air, because as you know, nowadays hip hop is going in a different direction, especially with all the mainstream music, all the mumble rap. There's no life to it, you know. Like me personally too, every time I listen to hip hop, I listen for the lyrics. I like to listen what the person's talking about. I like to listen to underground music mostly nowadays because they talk about stuff that matters, what's on their mind, you know. Mm-hmm. And yo, your music is insane, dude. Like your new Meditations album, like coming out in this corona chaos, man. It's beautiful what you're doing, because this world right now is in chaos and it needs that type of life, that type of energy that's authentic. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? People are losing, they're straying away from, you know, the true path, you know.
Yeah, thank you, bro. I appreciate those words, man. You know, I think there's a time and place for everything. You know, I think like, I love listening to like, you know, that like pop shit. Like, you know, like I love all types of music, you know, hip hop especially. I love like any form of hip hop. But I think, you know, like I said, there's a balance to be struck, you know, and I think I came up just listening to, like, you know, music that was lyric centric. And so that's what I, and also music that had like grand and interesting production. So that's what I got into early on. That's what I stuck with. And I'm, you know, it morphs, it changes, but I think words are just important to me.
So do you write outside of poetry for your music? Is there any writing that you do other than the poetry for your music and stuff like that?
I mean, I keep a journal, you know, like I write every day. You know, it takes different forms, but mostly just, you know, music, journal shit. I used to write like short stories in high school and a little bit in college, but nothing so serious, you know.
When did music become an avenue for you to express your feelings? And also, you talk about how you use your music to, it was like a tool to reveal parts of you to yourself. Mm-hmm. When did you start realizing that this was something that could open yourself up to the inner depths of who you really are and your soul and mm-hmm. your consciousness, your mind and stuff like that?
Yeah. That, I mean, that took, you know, when I first started writing, it was just like excitement. Like, oh, I'm just writing these raps that are, you know, just bullshit. Like, but I think that realization kind of hit me like end of high school, you know, like when I was more able to access different parts of my like heart and mind, you know, and I was like using like just different tools, you know, different like codes, and like the words would just hit different when I would write, and I'd be like, damn, like this is like a little different. And I would go further and further, which just opens up more like, you know, processes in the heart, in the mind, mm-hmm. that are like, you know, healing, you know. And so I was using it as like a way to, you know, process and heal and change and think, you know.
How did you feel first when you started talking about these things that you truly felt deep down? Because to talk about these things, it takes a certain level of like vulnerability, you know what I mean? Even this podcast, like me personally, like every time, well, usually when I talk to a guest, I go to this part of myself that I've been like, maybe I'll be thinking about something on my, you know, on a daily basis that I'm trying to vent out or something. And, you know, it's a level of vulnerability coming out and speaking your mind, because a lot of people do that nowadays, you know. And then like, especially not only speaking it, but knowing there's an audience listening, you know, it makes you think that, oh shit, like all those people just heard me say that. That's crazy. I don't know what to think about that now, you know, like they may be judging me, might be thinking otherwise, you know, because I'm doing something unconventional. I'm talking about things that, you know, not a lot of people speak about. How did you feel like that when you started writing your music, when you started incorporating those type of things into your lyrics, you know?
Yeah, I think, you know, end of the day, like my life is led by something much greater than I, you know. So like I don't, and what that is I think it has sovereignty, you know, like what that power is. So I don't think about, you know, what somebody might say to me or how they feel about my opinion or whatnot. Like the things that I say are based in the truth, and the truth is like, you know, bottom line. So if I'm talking about the bottom line, no matter what it is that you're saying to me, like what I'm saying is true, period. So it's like, it doesn't matter what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. You feel me? And I think that's like what keeps me like, you know, okay in like the shit storm that is the Instagram or Twitter or what have you. It's like, we're like, I don't really care what you're talking about. Like I'm talking the truth, you know, and that's the most important thing.
Yeah. And it feels good to write. It feels good to, like, I don't write poetry or anything like that, but I do a lot of writing, just more like philosophical writing about any conclusions I come to and just stuff that, you know, happens in day-to-day life. And mm-hmm. when you put those ideas down on paper, it's honestly a release. Mm-hmm. It's like a therapeutic thing that, I don't know, you know, it's usually like a personal thing, writing. So I don't know how many people around me do it or don't do it, but mm-hmm. I just know that it's probably not as common now, like you said, with the Instagram shitstorm and everything. We have so many like ways to release. Like instead of writing in a book that no one's going to see, why don't I just type out a storm on my story or type out a storm on my caption? So like, I can't imagine, you know, whenever I go through, you know, tough times in my life, there's a series of things that I do, but one of them has always been, since I was like probably 15 years old, writing. And I don't really know how I picked it up. It just kind of, it just felt natural. Like, yo, like this needs to just like, I need to do something to get this out of me. I can only imagine how it feels for you, because you're doing it in a much more artistic way. You have to make it make more sense. People are going to hear it. There's a beat behind it that you want it to flow with. How do you, how does the writing process go for you? The lyrical process?
Yeah, I hear you. I agree with you too. I think for me, writing, man, the process is always changing. You know, the process is change. So like, it really depends like what I'm doing. Like if I'm writing a song for like another artist per se, like, you know, like a singer or something like that, you know, I'm thinking about, you know, what's in the ether right now, or like, how can I freak this melody, or how can I do this? What rhythm can I fuck with? Or if it's for me, you know, it's just about like what I've been thinking about, what I've been experiencing like these past, you know, however many days or whatever since I wrote last. I think it just changes, man. Like I think, but what I do definitely is I keep, you know, detailed notes, you know, day to day, like about my comings and goings, my thoughts and whatever's. And then I, when I get into the mode where I'm about to write a song, I'll, you know, refer to these notes and just like, okay, I'm thinking about, you know, cause it makes it easier for me to like have more room to think if I just take notes as I go on throughout my day and then revisit it when I want to get in the studio and just, you know, get something out.
I get this sense that behind your music, there's a deeper meaning. There's like, you want to connect to a, like more of a whole, or just there's a purpose behind it aside from just making something that sounds good. What is, if I'm correct, what is that purpose that you try to, reach with your music?
You know, I think the purpose, I think what pushes me is to push myself, and, you know, cause it doesn't stop. Like music is always and forever, you know? So like it's, there's never, you've never finished anything, you know? So I think what undergirds the music is like, you know, my heart, but what keeps it going is like, just that there's no end to it, you know? So I'm always exploring, always changing. Like I said, the process has changed, you know? So like, I'm just changing, always working, you know?
You have a quote, I think in one of your interviews, you say, how do I be a kid in this environment? And, you know, I was going to ask you, that's a big thing nowadays. You know, a lot of people, they live in environments where it's very hard to do something you enjoy almost. It's almost like a fight or flight instinct everywhere you go. You don't have time to really think about the positives because you're surrounded by so much, you know. How do you deal with that? You know, how do you use that to make something positive in terms of your music, you know?
Yeah, like, I mean, that's just like, you know, growing up, like where I grew up. I grew up like in East New York, in Crown Heights, Washington Heights. I've been in the Bronx for, you know, almost a decade now. So like I've been all over the place, and like, you know, it's just a matter of like, cause you do, there are certain like, I don't know, understandings that you have to have of like the area that you live in or whatever, or where I've lived, that just, yeah, it may make you feel a certain way, or you have to move a certain way, or you don't go over here cause they're over there, you know, be over here cause they're over, you know, type shit. So it's more just like, it's like, I don't even know. It's just where I grew up. Like, I don't think about it. You know what I'm saying? It's affected my isms and schisms, you know? So it's more so just in like how I think, speak, talk, act, walk. And I think it definitely comes out in the music. I mean, I talk about it a little bit, you know, but it's more just like how a person is, you know, it's just like, it affected me and now it's a part of me, you know?
Did the whole recording process start, like when you started putting out songs and they really started getting out there and people started listening? Because right now I go on Spotify, I type in your name, you got songs that got 350,000 views, you know, hundreds of thousands of views. Did you ever, like, how do, when you see that, those type of numbers, what do you think about that?
You know, I feel I don't know, I feel, you know, grateful. Those metrics are just number, you know. I feel grateful for sure, you know, because I'm glad people are listening to the music, you know, 100%. The recording process, you know, it started like I said, like around 14, I had a friend in the jazz band. He played the bass, and his father like bought him a bunch of recording equipment. So I would go to his crib after school and on the weekends and whatnot and just record. But like, I, you know, it took a lot of refinement, like years. Like I, from the jump, from day one, I was like, yeah, I'm the best at this. Like, I'm the best. I'm great. I'm the GOAT. You know, that was my whole attitude. But like, I wasn't, bro. I used to suck. Like, you know, like I used to really suck at like enunciation and syncopation and all these things. And it took years and years of refinement. So like, you know, I decided to put my own record out in 2017 for Tower, the first one, you know? So I think like it took just a lot of refinement, and I was just so, I understood like that I wanted to do this. And I was like, I feel like I'm the best at this. So I just kept doing it. I didn't quit because I was like, I'm so excited. I'm so excited. I'm so, you know, passionate. I'm so, you know, so I just kept going. Didn't stop.
What do you think you've learned about yourself in this whole process of writing? Because me personally, when I'm writing in my book and stuff, honestly, you are learning about yourself through writing, because mm-hmm. you write down ideas that they're in your head, but you're not fully consciously aware that they're in your head. And then when you write them down, you're like, oh, snap. You know what I mean? A realization mm-hmm. came through my own mental processes. Mm-hmm. I've been doing it since eighth grade, you know, yeah. religiously every day. You know, I write like sometimes every day, sometimes once every 3 months. So what do you think you've learned about yourself in this process?
Yeah, I think, you know, what I've learned the most about myself is that I'm determined. You know, I'm determined to like understand. And like at all, you know, and that's like the biggest thing, if anything. Like I'm just a determined person. I want to grow, I want to change, I want to learn, I want to be the best I can be, you know, and like in every faculty that I have, you know. Like I know Felix, you're a vegan, right? Yeah, likewise, you know, I don't eat meat or dairy, you know, so I'm like trying to have a healthy, you know, life and a mobile life, you know, like, so I'm not like 50 and broke up, yeah, you know what I'm
same
saying?
Thing, man. Also vegan.
Yeah. Facts, you know? So like, I think that's what I've learned myself. I want to be the best I can possibly be in like in every way. So I think, yeah, just determination.
Yeah. Life. I think life is really about self-improvement, regardless of if you're a writer, if you're a rapper, if you're a graph head, if you're a skater, if you're a martial artist, if you're a cook, it's about like, all right, you're a cook. How are you going to get to this level of excellence, I guess you could say, that so you could just mm-hmm. be proud that you do your craft as well as you could do it. Like if you cook, if you're chopping cucumbers, are you chopping them like super sloppy? Or are you like that, 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 right. boom? Right. You know what I mean? Like,
right. yeah,
really nailing it down. You know, I know that faith has a big part of your life, and you grew up in a what was the religion you grew up in?
Christianity.
Okay, yeah, you grew up as a Christian, and then, you know, you had a heavy influence within the church community and stuff like that. And that's something that, honestly, not everybody has, you know, a community. Mm-hmm. Not even necessarily just talking about religious community, but in essence, it's a community, regardless of if you want to call it a religious community, if you want to call it, like, whatever. It's a group of people who know each other, they're close, they have, like, the same ideals, they get together. Sometimes mm-hmm. they'll cook food, and they'll all eat together and stuff like that. And you have this, in this other interview, you talked about how your joy, you realize, doesn't come from like money or your material status, or you just named a bunch of things that are usually equated with happiness and joy. And you said your mm-hmm. happiness doesn't come from that. What do you mm-hmm. think your happiness does come from?
Well, I think, you know, happiness and joy, of course, money makes life easier, thus makes you, you know, a little, you know, happier to move around and have some mobility, for sure. I think generally joy just comes from like just understanding that, like, just like, I think grace, like understanding grace, that this is all grace, like everything that's given to you is because of grace, you know what I'm saying? And I think to be grateful of that grace brings joy to me. You know, starting your day with gratitude it improves my day, you know? And I think, yeah, like it's all just grace, bro, you know? And I think that's important to just recognize. Over the summer, I was in a really good mood every day. I think that just came from, like I said, like change and process. Like, I was able to shed some people and some situations, and I was able to like just come to a different, center of gravity. You feel me? Yeah.
Yeah. The more you change your mindset, the more everything changes around you. Like, you know, I was just thinking about like the, how would you say it? Like, as your parents grow older, the aging process, and regardless of how you think of it, it's going to happen. So the best thing you could do is just shift your mindset towards it and shift the lens that you view it from. Cause you know, thinking about things in a negative way, that doesn't help anybody.
Yeah, bro. You end up stuck. And that's what I talk a lot about on the record, but is just being stuck somewhere, being caught in the loop, you know, like in life, a lot of adulthood, like, you know, a lot of life is just learning how to step out of destructive, like, patterns, you know, and getting caught in the loop, you know, is just like, you're just in the fucking pattern. You just can't get out. Some, you know, you're just stuck there. And that's a lot of my, like, MO is to not be stuck in these loops and to just always just, you know, evolve and grow. Yeah. And so I think, go ahead.
Sorry, bro. I was thinking about that earlier today. It's funny you mentioned that, because I guess like the definition of a loop would be, it's like you start at one spot, you go through this whole trials and tribulations only to end up at the exact same spot. Right. Yeah. And sometimes that could be, it could be anything from just the way you think to like a person in your life that's just not doing you any good. And your attachment to that person is just dragging you down day by day only to bring you back to the exact same spot. It's honestly crazy. And the most important thing is realizing you're in that and then having the self-control and like mental realization to be like, all right, I have to make a cut from this, because you know, it's just like our minds forcing us to be in this scenario and nothing else. Like, there's no reason for us to be in these things.
Exactly. It's as easy as just saying, I'm going this way instead of that way. Yeah, facts.
You talk about light and darkness a lot, how somebody asks you how, which one do you favor or which one do you think is more beneficial than the other? And you said, if you favor one more than the other, you're crazy. You shouldn't do that. It has to be a balance, you know, the yin and the yang. And going back to what I was saying before, the chaos of what's going on nowadays, like people on, you know, such a path of division, you know, anger, frustration. Yeah, they have passion, but it's skewed in a, you know, in the wrong place, unfortunately, you know, like, especially nowadays with like this whole election and shit. But, hearing your music, going back to that, it's like, we need more people like you, man. We need more people talking about what's going on nowadays, because, you know, people, you know what it is with people? They need a leader, you know? Mm. Unfortunately, this leader is, you know, on television. It's this person that they don't really know personally, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So if they have somebody that's, you know, from the neighborhood that's guiding them a certain way, I feel like that's more personal. They'll listen to that, you know? And I think it's very important what you're doing. I think it's very meaningful, and like I said, we need more people speaking this type of message, honestly, especially nowadays. Like, it goes back to what I was saying, the yin and the yang. As more evil is out there, we need more light, you know. And
thank you. Yeah, well, thank you. I think something that really influenced the writing for this record as well is like similar to what you're talking about, like yin and yang. Like, it's a lot of just like how in this life there's a lot of over specialization. Like, people really want you to be one thing, or you know, they want you to be over here or over there. Like, you're either left or you're right. You know what I'm saying? Like, liberal or what, you know, that kind of shit. And I think that's really Western, you know. And I think that you look at a child, like, you know, a child has like 1,000 different interests. You know what I'm saying? I think it's you do yourself a disservice to say I'm only this, I'm only that. Whereas, or to believe that you're only one thing, because, you know, you can learn a bunch of different things if you want. You know what I'm saying? We all went to school. We all took like 5 different subjects. You know, we all were learning. You know what I'm saying? We're all multifaceted people. So I think to be able to be a 1 and a 0, to be a yes and a no at the same time, is like something that really influenced the record. Like, because that's a lot of how I felt coming up. Like, you know, people really, they want to say, you know, they want to, you know, put you here, put you there, but like, really, I'm like, I'm all these things, and I have all these ideas, and that's okay, you know.
So that being said, what do you identify yourself as? Like, a skateboarder will identify himself as a skateboarder. Like, I am this. A graph writer might be like, I'm a graph writer. Like, that's what I do. Is there? Do you identify yourself as a musical artist or?
Yeah, as a rapper. Yeah, as a rapper, as an artist. You know, as a writer, songwriter. You know, producer. All these things. I mean, I accept them all because they're all true. You know, especially like in like the lineage of hip hop. Like, I'm a rapper. You feel me? But. Yeah, I'm a bunch of different things, you know.
Why do you think that in the past era it was like Nas, Mobb Deep, MF Doom, like a very distinct style of music in terms of rap that was coming out, and that was what would gain popularity, and now it's shifted, and now it's, if you do that, you know, you could get some popularity, but your chances of getting popular are they shrink if you're doing that as opposed to doing something that's less about a meaning and more about like something very catchy and to just, you know, have a good time too.
I think, you know, but it's funny because like perspective wise, like that's even what they were doing back in the day, like in like the 90s, like late 80s, like the gangster shit, like that was like them catching the vibe, like, you know. So now us catching the vibe is like some, you know, Chief Keef or some, you put some like, you know, on like Lucky on in the club, or, you know, or not, you know, but like, you know what I'm saying, like some shit that bumps from Cardi B, what have you, and that's a vibe. So I think people, it's like the consciousness has shifted, like the perspective has changed, because back in the day, like this is like early 90s, mid 90s, like it's like post crack, like, you know, people who are rapping, either like their parents were on drugs, they sold drugs, like, oh, sold crack or what have you, like it's gutter, you know. But now, like, this is like a generation where everyone wants to be hot, everyone's a user, you know. So like, niggas love drugs, we've always loved drugs, but like now it's like okay to say I'm on drugs, like I'm heavy on drugs, this and that. So I think that's, motherfuckers want to catch a vibe, it's like just like a little more amorphous, which is fire. Like, I fuck with it too, but it's like, you know, it's just like, it's just the perspective is just different now, and that's just what it is.
Mm-hmm. When did you go vegan?
This is like I went vegetarian 2017, but I kind of went vegan like end of last year, like after Christmas, I think, just stopped eating dairy.
How come though?
Just like more research, you know, like, and just I don't know, just more research. I think that's really what it was. And I was like, yeah, I want to take it to the next level, I guess, you know.
How is it in terms of like your friends? Are you around people that are also that eat that way, or you feel like an outcast in a way?
Yeah, you know, I have a few of my friends are like vegan or vegetarian. You know, I do have to make like concessions here and there because, like, you know, I don't want to be rude at somebody's house, you know, it's all they made is this, so I'll, you know, take some bites or whatever. But it's like, yeah, like I don't feel like people judge me or what have you. It's just real regular, you know.
Do you think your diet has affected your mindset in any kind of way? Do you feel any kind of like spiritual or mental shifts because of what you've been, your change in diet?
I think mostly it's like physical shifts, like that I feel the most. I just I'm not as hungry after I eat a meal, of course. You know, I look better. I've been working out a little bit. I look better. And I don't know, I just feel better. Like, my mind, I guess, must feel better. I haven't eaten meat in so, like, consistently in so long. I don't really, like, remember. But I'm sure, like, in the beginning, it was definitely, like, a pretty, like, stark shift. Like, just, whoa, like, this is way different.
Yeah, so what do you eat instead of the meat?
Just like a lot of grain, you know. I eat a lot of quinoa and brown rice. I eat a lot of root vegetables. Of course, everything else like green vegetables and whatnots. I eat a lot of chickpeas though. I make a lot of chickpeas and spinach like damn near every day. I make a really good black bean stew. I'm about to make this cabbage and potato curry like tonight actually. Just everything else that's just not meat or dairy.
So were you into cooking beforehand, or this is something that came with the switch in diet?
Well, you know, I've been into cooking. My father's he's also a cook. He's a musician and a cook, you know. So he's been cook. I would watch him cook when I was a shorty, like just cook all types of stuff. And so I got into it that way. And then When I became vegan, there was less options. There's more options, really. But, like, in my mind, like, there's less options. So I had to get more creative and just – I started cooking a lot more, and I grew to love it. And my brother, Nate, he's also a chef. And so I just, like, hearing him talk about, like, recipes and whatnot just, like, got me hyped when I was a kid, too.
Yeah, I was the same way. I mean, when I grew up, you know, I would live in a conventional, like Russian household. My mom would just make a bunch of meat, bunch of like cheese, all this stuff. And I didn't really care for it. I just ate it, you know, to live, to, you know, not to be hungry. I didn't really care about the taste or nothing. But as I kind of had my own, started having my own views on food, like converting to, you know, I was vegetarian first for like 5 years. And then a year ago I turned vegan. But the thing is, when I turned vegan or vegetarian, I started cooking myself and I found all these foods I've been missing out on. I finally figured out what spices are, you know, actually tasting food. And, you know, there's so much out there. And like you said, all these recipes, man, I love cooking now because it's interesting to me. And I find it's a way that you have a connection with your food. Of course, you know, we're disconnected nowadays because everything's from the supermarket. We don't really grow our own food, but you know, we can still take that back when we cook our own food. You know, we can put our own energy into it and we know what's in it. You know what I mean? We know who's cooking the stuff, what's in it, how much is in it. It's not the same, you know, as eating out. No. Don't get me wrong. I still eat out a lot, you know, at least often, whatever.
But, yeah.
You know, food is definitely important for like mental clarity. I noticed that changed too when I cut out meat and dairy. I started feeling like lighter in terms of like weight on my mind and stuff. Like I would walk around more like kind of flowing, you know?
Yeah, for sure. And especially when you start cooking for yourself. I mean, people... Like if I cook for a friend one night or something like that, like, you know, I don't use meat or dairy. So if I'm cooking, it's a vegan meal, but they don't even mention that, you know, like, it's like, they just like love the food. It's like, yeah, like you're not really missing much, honestly, you know?
Yeah. I think the consciousness and or the paradigm is just shifting as to what food is and what food isn't. Cause I know like, so I stopped eating meat, dairy and all that stuff 7 years ago. And even in just a short 7 years time span, I've noticed ill differences of, you know, back like at that point, it's still not it's not necessarily popular, but it's definitely way more popular now than it was then. But I was just thinking about how there's like what was that? It's like lentil soup is mental soup. Ginger root is good for the root.
That song "Healthy" by Dead Prez. Yes.
Never heard that.
Yo, you got to listen to it. They just, you know, they're rapping. It's a really, really good song. And there's, it's pretty much about eating like the Itel diet, you know, like,
they're
killing it, bro. And like, what was this? You know, that guy, that cook, or he's like a foodie guy, Eddie Huang. He was talking about how he wasn't going to eat beef anymore and about how it's not like a new thing. He, like, Hindus, Buddhist, vegetarian monks, like the Itals, like they've been doing it for mad long, you know.
Yeah, bro. My mom's people are Caribbean, you know, from Turks and Caicos. I'm not sure how connected that is to like Jamaican or more like, you know, traditional island culture. But I mean, I think even like me not eating meat or dairy, you know, it's in my DNA a little bit too. I don't know what they eat out there even. I haven't been there ever, but you know, I feel like a little more connected with like, you know, just real food, like you say, you know. And
do you know about what the Itel diet consists of?
Yeah, I mean, just Itel is vital, right? You know,
yeah, so straight up like no oil, no salt, like crazy natural wave, bro.
Yeah, which is pretty intense. I'm not sure I can do no salt, but I fuck with that though, you know.
I like the idea of it for sure.
But yeah, man, I mean, yeah, I definitely feel a lot better. I've been trying to get my OG on it, my stepdad. He because he eats like the exact opposite of what I eat, you know. So I remember I brought the idea to him for him to stop eating meat or dairy, but he's like, yeah, but what else is there? And I was like, just, you know, just like doing step, you know, just trying to teach somebody something new, a new way of eating.
Yeah, it's the same way, you know, having this. I don't even tell people like I'm vegan, you know, if they bring it up, whatever, I'll mention, you know, I won't be eating something. They'll say, why are you doing that? But I don't really like bringing it up because of the whole stereotype behind it. But you know, even at work, because I work in like a labor job and construction and shit. And I'll whip out my my Tupperware, and you know, it'll be like lentils and Brussels sprouts and like, you know, some like vegetables. They'll be like, "Where's the meat? You know, where what are you doing? Where are you, what are you eating?" And then once I explain to them, they'll be like, you know, cracking jokes, you know, cutting ass, because like it's like the stereotypical like American man, you know, I have to eat like fucking like a burger, you know, some steak, you know, to be like strong and whatever. But like that's why I don't mention it, because you know, I work out, I go to the gym, this and that. And then when they realize that I don't eat meat in there, they look at me and they're like, "Oh shit, like you're not like frail, and like you're not you know, like you're not weak, you're not deteriorating, you know, you're not like deficient, you're not malnourished, you know." So like, quickly, and then after they're done cutting ass on me, like like they'll come to, they'll like push me off to the side or like isolate me, and they'll be like, "Yo, like what do you eat, you know, like I'm interested." Like, you know, they're like it's funny how people work. They're, you know, they're interested once they realize that it's not as bad as they thought it was, you know.
How'd you guys get into veganism?
Well, I was, so I'm Ecuadorian and Chinese, and I mean, that's like irrelevant because pretty much every culture eats meat. You know, people, I heard people say like, "I'm Colombian, that's why I eat meat," or "I'm Chinese." It's like, bro, every culture, unless you're straight up like a Buddhist monk or like Jamaican Italian, you eat meat. But basically my friend, he was, he's like, he was born vegetarian. So his mom was vegetarian, something like that. They're all, they're like, his whole family's like really, really strict Buddhist. He's probably gonna listen to this, but he told me, "Yo, you they were gonna have this like documentary showing at this movie theater." He's like, "You should pull up, because if I don't sell enough tickets, then they're not gonna show it." His restaurant, he's a cook, so he just he cooks for a vegan restaurant, and he owns it, right? So I was like, "All right, bet, I'll pull up." But I pulled up just to help him out. I did not know. I didn't even ask like, "Yo, what's it about?" I just pulled up off of principle, like he like needs this. So, yeah. So I pulled up, and then I was like, "I don't know what this is going to be about." So, yeah, I pulled up, and then I'm watching the movie, and then midway through, I'm like, "Damn, bro, I'm dead. I'm never eating meat again." And I was 18 at the time. I was like, "I'm 100% not eating meat again." Yeah. And then I went home. I like woke my mom up. I'm like, "Yo, it's over. Like when I tell you this stuff, you're going to fuck out. You're going to not eat meat ever again." She's like, "All right." She's like, "Yeah, yeah." And then they just thought that it was going to be something that I did, like, you know, on some 18-year-old shit, like,
right,
one day to the next. And then, yeah, no, it's just been, I don't really think about it anymore, though. It's not something I'm like, "I'm vegan." Like,
exactly.
I just like, I'm trying to eat healthy. If tomorrow it comes out that like we were like all the information is wrong, I'm not married to these ideals. Like my mind is very open to other ideas, but I try to do my research, and like we've had like the vegan doctors on the show, like cardiologists and stuff. And like, as far as I know, this is pretty valid for my health, which is what I'm concerned about. And also the health of the planet, although that shit's smoked no matter what we do.
Right. Exactly. Like, you know,
I guess if it makes me feel good and I'm not bothering anybody else, which I try my best not to do, then I don't, it's whatever, you know, I'll do my thing.
Yeah, I agree, bro. I'm right there with you.
Yeah. No, I mean, how I was saying earlier, I'm just like growing up in a conventional, you know, household that, you know, all around me was just, you know, meat and cheese. And I didn't even know other food existed. Like, I thought if you didn't have that on your plate, then it wasn't like, it wasn't a meal. It was like an appetizer, like just a salad or some shit, you know, like it wasn't something you could really get full with or, you know, carry on your day with just eating that.
Right.
But honestly, I don't know, man. I don't know if it was just like the way my mom cooked chicken, but it felt very gamey to me. And I didn't like the consistency, you know, like I never felt, even at a young age, I was always like weirded out by eating meat. You know, it felt like really, I don't know how to explain, just very like chewy, you know, like very, like I didn't enjoy it, honestly.
Yeah.
But, you know, to me, that was food. I just kept eating it and, you know, whatever, like whatever. Yeah. But as I got older, like, I don't know how it happened. I think I like found out that like, if you don't eat meat, then, you know, you still live, like you don't die, you know?
So,
You know, there's a way out of this, you know? So once I found that out, I straight up like told my mom, I was like, I don't, it's a dub. Yeah. Like, I'm sorry. I've been wanting to like not eat this for so long. I'm sorry, but like, I'm not going to, so
yeah,
I'm gonna have to work something out, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
you know, my mom, like her whole life too, like traditions, generations, you know, she's like worried. She's like, why? What are you talking about? You're not going to be, a strong man, quote unquote, you know? Yeah. And then I was like, I was in a relationship with this girl and she was vegetarian. So it helped me like learn more about it. I wasn't alone, but yeah, pretty much just that. Like it just, and I don't look back. I never really, I never like thought of a, but like he said, I'm not so fixated on an idea. If there were studies to come out that apparently we do need to eat meat, you know, to survive, I guess, you know, like I wouldn't enjoy it, of course, because even when I'm around people cooking it, I'm not even kidding you. I don't know if it's just because I'm so used to it, but I don't really enjoy the smell. Like there's a certain smell where it doesn't matter what meat you're cooking. I just don't, I'm not appealed to it. You know what I mean? Yeah, man, that's the whole journey, I guess. And like when I went vegan, it was because of my friend in Montreal. I was vegetarian for like 5 to 6 years. And he's really on that. He's really on persuading people on how to, he like really like cuts ass on you. Like, yo, why are you still eating cheese? You know, like you're fucking killing, you know, animals, this and that, like a lot of things, you're hurting the environment. And I was already kind of leaning towards veganism of cutting out dairy because I wanted to better myself. I wanted to better the way I felt. But in my mind, I was so stuck on this vegan idea, how if I became vegan, that I would completely be malnourished. I would be skinny. I wouldn't know what to eat. Cause when you're vegetarian, you have a lot of options, especially when you go out to eat, you know, cheese and, you know, dairy, like it's everywhere and you can still have a lot of options. But in my mind, I was like vegan and I associated with like some skinny hipsters and shit. I was like, nah, man, there's no way. I don't even know what to eat. I thought it was hard turning vegetarian, like vegan, no way. But as time went on, like he said, I don't even think about it no more. I just eat my daily meals and I never feel like I'm dreading my meals. You know, I don't feel like I'm, I look forward to eating. You know what I mean? Especially now that I'm cooking it myself and there's so much out there. You know?
Yeah, I agree, man.
How did you come up with the Meditations as the name of the album? I really enjoy that. At first I thought it was a reference to Descartes, his book, like Meditations on his philosophies. And just him analyzing everything he thinks and how it's affected by all the social structures that have come before him. And he realizes he needs to wipe out his memory. So I'm like, oh, word. Especially like how it's laid out. I thought that that's what it was. How did you come up with it?
No, I've never actually read any of his work. I know his name for sure. But, bro, I had a dream, bro. I had a dream one night. This is like months before I even started writing. This is maybe like, actually, maybe this is like January of 2020. Yeah, maybe just about. But I had a dream. And in this dream, like I was like playing the piano or some shit. And like a lot of shit happened. But I woke up and I knew the title of the record. Like, of, you know, something told me this is like this, like the, this is the name of the record. It's called Meditations. I woke up, I wrote it down. And then that, I had the title and I had like a song or two. And then from there, I just kept chipping away and I kind of put it on the back burner, like the title. I didn't think so much about it, but I knew I had it. And then, you know, when I'm making work, when I'm writing, you know, as many artists, I mean, maybe y'all know too, like you kind of just like, you know, I kind of blacked out, you know, you just like, you black out a little bit. You just like are so tunnel vision that like things are just clairvoyant. Like things just happen. Like they just line up and click, you know? And at the end, I finished the record in July. I look up and like, you know, so it was all so connected. It was just all so like simple and easy. I didn't think about it. It just happened. It came together so seamlessly. You know what I'm saying? And that was, yeah, that was the album Meditations. And yeah, we had one of our homies, Ali, his father owns a restaurant in Queens, Sammy's Kebab House. And they had a sign painter paint the sign. And I wanted this sign painter to paint the album cover. I had just like an idea of like the colors I wanted. I knew I wanted text and I knew the colors. So I'm like, yeah, let's just get him to paint the album like this on a piece of glass. And that was it. And yeah.
Who's the sign painter?
His name's Matt Russo. He's,
bro.
You know Matt Russo?
Bro, that stuff. I knew as soon as you said that, I'm like, yo. Yeah. That's the homie.
Yeah. Okay, good. Yeah. That's big dog. Yeah. He held it down. And we got some glass cut, bro. And on the album, you can see it. A tuft of my hair. You can see it at the bottom there. Just me holding up above my head.
That's so sick. I had no idea that was who painted it. As soon as you said Kebab House, I remember on his Instagram seeing that.
Yeah.
Oh, he definitely did that. That's awesome.
Yeah, man. He's a good guy.
He's going to be hyped to know that we had you on the show and stuff.
Small city, bro. The city's so small.
Yeah, it really is. It's like, it's huge, but it's not. It's weird, man. Yeah. Have you ever thought about leaving here?
Yeah, you know, I think New York would be my home base. I think I always, like, I'll orbit, I'll come back here. But my family is in Detroit. Like, my father's family, my sister live in Detroit. You know, I want to live somewhere else for a time. You know, life is long. You know, I think I'll have the money to afford to be able to live other places. So, you know, I want to bounce around. But I think New York will be my home base for many, many decades, probably.
Yeah, I know you were in Michigan during a lot of the quarantine, right?
No, I wasn't. I was there actually just for a week.
Oh, really?
4 weeks ago. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
How was that?
It was amazing, bro. It was my sister's birthday. She turned 27. We went to go turn up with her and her friends from college and shit. It's a lot of fun. We just, you know, the city is beautiful. I love the city. I went to the Motown Museum. That was amazing. Got some magnets and some shirts and some books and stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, it's funny because I spent a lot of time as a kid. And so going back as like an adult, you know, I can drive now. I can, you know, go see other people. So like, I'm seeing the city in a totally different way. Mm-hmm. And it's like, just really cool.
What are you working on now for your music? What's up next?
For my music, man, I'm just working. I'm just writing songs, you know, nothing in particular except music itself. So I'm just working, bro.
It's interesting how you, going back to the meditation record, how you said it kind of was a dream and it just came out to be. It kind of like had its own path. You were just you were on this ride with it, you know, to spread this message. Once you said that, it made me think about this podcast, honestly, because we started this in June when this, you know, this is going on and everything. And like I said before, with all this chaos and hatred in the world, but podcast almost came out to be a way for us to speak to people like you, to voice our own opinions, to spread a message that I keep, you know, repeating that the world needs, in a way, you know, some authenticity. Mm. And that's really interesting how you said that, because it makes me feel like what we're working on also, like all these projects that are coming out towards the better, you know, in forms of light, let's say, in the darkness, like they all come out naturally and when they need to be, like in the exact moment, you know, they should be. Mm-hmm. So I just thought about that when you were talking about how the record came out. It was pretty funny.
Yeah, bro. When you're in alignment with like your assignment, you know, like it just happens seamlessly, effortlessly. And I think that's just like drip, bro. Like when you're just dripping and you just like, it's just natural, it's effortless. You know, it's a sign sometimes of, you know, you're in alignment with like, you know, your mission, your calling, at least in this season, you know.
Yeah, you talk about how your album There Will Be Rain, it's someone asked you about what exactly that means and how you said that rain is like a symbolism for things we can't control, such as change and how it's inevitable. And what are your thoughts on that, the whole, you know, the things we can't control in this life, and your reaction to that? And the only thing you can do is you can decide how you react to them, but you can't control whether or not they happen.
Yeah, I think that's a lot of it. You know, I think, you know, being able to live your life with not such a vice grip on things, people, situations is difficult because, you know, we're beings of like analogy and like material, you know, so we want, you know, things to be like this, or, you know, we need money to do this, or, you know, and it's tough when we don't get what we want because we have, you know, a certain amount of agency on the earth, you know. But I think it's just important to realize that, like, there's other sovereignty that's more real and more powerful than your own, you know. And I think it's important to just be as the best you can be, like to be in the closest alignment as you can with like what your heart and soul tells you, where it tells you to be, and then just rock with that and go with the punches from there, because 9 times out of 10, like, you'll get into situations that benefit you, you know, and allowing yourself to be easy is the best way to get what you need, you know, because otherwise you'll just be like thrashing in waves, whereas, you know, you should just be floating on your back and just go with the flow. You know what I'm saying?
What do you plan on doing with your music? You plan on, like, you must have some sort of plan on how you're going to grow, or where you plan on going with it?
I'm just going to the top, bro. I'm doing the best I can to be the best I can. And nobody's me. So I'm, you know, I'm about to be out here for real. It's going to be good. I'm excited.
Yo, Caleb, thank you for talking to us and stuff, bro, for real.
Bro, I'm glad to see you, man. And nice to meet you too, bro. It's definitely good to see everybody.
It's been real, bro. Man, I'm yo, not if, but when you make it, yo, we're going to be happy to see that, bro, honestly.
Bro, man, and y'all too, bro. I'm really excited for this podcast, bro. It's a beautiful thing to see, man, for real.
Thanks, bro. We're trying our best.
Yeah.
We get really hyped on all the support we get from everybody, man. From, like, I'm sure you feel it too on your end, like the DMs and just like random people you don't know hitting you up. You're like, whoa,
this is, yeah, yeah,
it's nuts, man. And yeah, bro. We don't take it for granted for a second. Like, every single person, we really, really appreciate deeply, or even just anybody who's willing to talk to us on the show, like you, or we just talked to Ted Barrow right before this. And it's just like, everybody, bro, we got a lot of appreciation, and we don't, you know, we got no ego, you know?
Yeah, bro. It's all a blessing. It's all by grace, you know, and I'm glad to see y'all doing y'all thing, man. It's fire.
Yo, thank you, bro.
Yeah, man. Thank you.
All right. Peace, bro. Peace.
Peace, brother. Peace.
Later.
Later.